Before we start our episode today, I want to talk a little bit about a hard topic, fertility. If you are one of the many women struggling to become pregnant again, just know that we're thinking of you and sending you the most positive thoughts. For mamas trying to conceive or struggling with fertility, I encourage you to check out Needed. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer egg quality support for women and sperm plus for men. These are things that are not often talked about. I wanted to share more about both of those products. Needed's egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes. It's never too early or too late to start focusing on egg quality, but for optimal results, they recommend taking egg support at least 3 months before trying to conceive or freezing the eggs. For Needed Sperm Support Plus, it combines targeted and clinically studied ingredients, pre and probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for the whole body approach to male fertility. Expertly formulated for men who are thinking of trying to conceive and for men's vitality at stages of all life. If you are pregnant or trying to conceive, or even in your postpartum stages, consider switching to Needed to get 20% off your order by using code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20 at checkout. Women of Strength, hello. How are you doing? I hope you are having an amazing week. We have another story coming your way today, and we actually have a co-host today, my friend Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here.
I love having our VBAC Link doulas on the podcast here and there. It's fun to not only share you with the world and let people know who you are and where you are, but really just hear from you guys and hear your educational pieces and just have you guys in the story and giving your input. And I just love it. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
Guys, today, like I said, we have an HVAC story coming your way, but I did want to let you know that today's episode may have mention of partner abuse and suicide. And I really, really, really think it is so important to really not mask stories and share the rawness of people's stories, because I think the rawness and the real story is what makes us who we are today and really creates the story to be true, right? And so I just wanted to give you guys a heads up, but I'm going to turn the time over to Sarah. She is in replace of our review today doing an educational piece, and we're actually talking about mental health.
Yeah. Hi. So again, I'm super excited to be here. I'm Sarah Marie Bilger. I'm located in the upstate South Carolina area, and I do birth and postpartum doula work. And I really just wanted to kind of cover the topic of mental health, because in the story that we're going to hear today, it's pretty relevant. And it's one of those things that aren't often talked about. I don't want to say that that's not talked about, because when we say that, it kind of, I feel, diminishes the people that are talking about it. And it's important to really highlight when we are talking about it. But a lot of the times when we're preparing for pregnancy, we're focused on, you know, the physical aspects or maybe mindfulness or something along those lines, but we don't really dig deep into postpartum mood disorders, or when there are mood disorders that are still occurring in pregnancy, or even that might exist before we're pregnant that will still continue throughout pregnancy. So it's really important to make sure that we're having these conversations and that we're being open and honest with the people around us. And maybe if you aren't in therapy or have somebody sort of set up along those lines, you still have a close friend or a support person that you can be sharing this information with, or really opening up about the feelings that you're having, because they are very real feelings. And even into postpartum, it goes more than just the baby blues. There's a lot of different things that can be occurring and happening that it's really important to continue to have those support people. So as a doula, this is something something that I make sure my clients are aware of and open to. And I try to be as much of a support person as possible, but knowing when professionals need to step in and when situations need to be handled, I think is really key. So making sure that you have people to talk to, making sure when you listen to these stories that you are considering different situations and different aspects, and that we're, talking to our mom friends too. Like, if you're not the one currently going through it, if you're hearing somebody else going through different situations, we're continuing to stay open and stay together and stay supportive.
Yes, I love that. Thank you so much for that message. I also want to add to it that, after we have our babies, we are given a 6-week follow-up, and you do not have to wait 6 weeks to talk to your provider. If you are feeling these feelings, you do not have to wait until then. You, one, can get in sooner, but two, there are other resources, and we will make sure to have those resources shared at the end of this episode and in our show notes. So if you or anyone that you know and love are experiencing these things, please know that there is more help. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, Alice and Sarah, thank you so much again for being here today. I want to turn the time over to you, Miss Alice.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here and share my story.
Me too.
So I have had two pregnancies, two births, and they were both very, very different. My first pregnancy, when I think about when I found out I was pregnant with my first, it was the lowest point of my life. I was 9 months into being married to my abuser and had really lost my entire sense of self. I was at this point where I just didn't understand how I had gotten there. I didn't understand how I had married him. And I found myself hospitalized from a suicide attempt. And I also had no social supports. I had no family in the area. I had no job. My husband was an attorney, and I relied on his friends and his family for emotional support. And so I was hospitalized and felt very lost. And about a week into my hospitalization, the staff who were constantly running tests and blood draws pulled me out of a group where I was learning how to deeply breathe, and to my shock, told me I was pregnant. I had no idea. And it was just a very out-of-body experience, being hospitalized for mental illness. Some people can find it really helpful and healing, and it can also be a trauma in itself. And it was that for me. So to be in this setting where I had no freedom, and then these people were telling me what was inside of my body, it was, I couldn't process it. I was very disconnected to my pregnancy at first. And the next 5 days of being hospitalized, I was presented with a lot of information about pregnancy and intimate partner violence. And it's information that I think is really important for providers to know, but it was presented to me as a new pregnant person in an abusive relationship in a way that felt really coercive and fear-mongering. They told me that the leading cause of death in the United States of for pregnant women was intimate partner homicide.
Okay.
And wow. Yeah, and it was pretty much, I remember one provider telling me, your options are to terminate the pregnancy or to leave him now. And it's our professional opinion that if you stay in this relationship while pregnant, it's very likely that he will kill you before you give birth.
Gosh.
And I remember feeling so shocked and afraid. And I knew I wanted to be a mom. And I think the decision to continue a pregnancy or not when you're faced with, it's always a difficult decision. And it was for me because I was afraid and I knew I wanted to be a mom. And I also knew that I couldn't leave yet. And the leaving is really complicated and it's not a direct line to safety. And I remember feeling like when they were talking to me about leaving, like, well, you could go here or you could call this person. I'm thinking like, don't you think I've already thought of this? Like, don't you think I've thought of every way to keep myself safe? And now I was pregnant and I wanted the assumption that I was making decisions that were best for me and my baby. My pregnancy was difficult. I had hyperemesis and I had this pregnancy rash that was really itchy my whole pregnancy. And they kept testing my bio levels and they were all normal and never knew what was going on. I have like scars on my body from scratching. And I'm pretty sure now that it was just stress and breaking out in hives throughout my pregnancy. I had broken ribs in my third trimester. And when I think about that pregnancy, I remember it being a time of suffering and fear. And I feel sad for myself when I think of myself during that time, experiencing pregnancy like that. At the same time, I had an incredible midwifery team based out of a hospital. I can't say enough about how supportive and trauma-informed they were. They never pressured me to leave. They asked questions like, what can we do to help? How can we make you safer? And they trusted that I was doing everything I could and that I knew how to keep myself safe and how to keep my baby safe. So I was living with my in-laws when I went into labor with my first. I had moved in and out of our home, depending on how safe it was. And I didn't have anywhere to go other than his parents. So I was living with them and my waters had been leaking for a few days. And I knew. I was like, I know I'm not peeing this much all the time. So I knew that my waters were leaking, but I didn't want to go to the hospital yet because I hadn't started contracting and I knew they would induce. So I started having contractions at midnight. I went in about 24 hours later. It was really slow. I tried everything I could to get things moving, but it just wouldn't speed up. I ended up being induced, and I don't necessarily regret the decision to be induced. It did lead to a C-section, but when I went into the hospital, I didn't know what home I would go to, and I wanted to be there. And I remember thinking, I want to stay here, and if that means I have to get induced, that means I get induced, but I felt much safer being in a hospital at that point. So they started the induction process. I had a doula come and I also had my therapist come and she was with me through my entire labor at the hospital and birth for like, she was there maybe 45 hours, which yeah. And we made a contract and it was pretty innovative to have my therapist there as a support person at my birth. Mm. And I think it's an induction story that is we all know. My body wasn't ready. I was on Pitocin for a very long time. Baby's heart rate started decelerating. not tolerating labor, and made the decision to have a cesarean. And it wasn't the birth that I wanted, but it was the safety that I wanted. I had support there. They made sure to tell me like specific things that were in my birth plan that were triggers for me. Like when I was laid on the table for the C-section, someone got very close to my ear and said, "No one's tying you down. I know your arms are out. It might feel like that, but no, you are not restrained." At one point, the anesthesiologist started like petting my head because he was sitting by my head. And the obstetrician, who was just there to do my C-section, she wasn't there for very long, she had read my birth plan and said to the male anesthesiologist, she doesn't like her head to be touched. And he stopped. So I felt very seen. I did skin to skin in the delivery room. My therapist was in the operating room with me. And it wasn't a terrible cesarean experience. So postpartum was pretty hard. When I left the hospital, I was living alone with my baby, and my in-laws agreed to encourage my husband to live with them so that we could be safe from him during the postpartum time. But living alone after a C-section with no family or friends and no doula was very, very difficult. My husband has substance use disorder, and he took my pain medication when I got home. And I just remember being in a lot of pain, but I also was in this haze of falling in love with my baby. Mm-hmm. It still shocks me that I did not experience postpartum depression with my first. I was depressed through my pregnancy. And I also think I was in such a survival mode during the first year of my first baby's life that I didn't have any space to process or space to grieve. Like, I was surviving. And 1 year after giving birth to my first, I did file for divorce, get a restraining order, and safely flee with my child. But it was a very long, difficult road.
We're going to take a quick break to continue talking about fertility. I know many of our beautiful women of strength listening join us right after their cesarean birth. And when you're in your postpartum stages, many of your nutrition needs actually increase. And if you're thinking about having another baby, I invite you to take a moment to educate yourself on the support that our favorite prenatal supplement Needed offers for both fertility and postpartum. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer eggs quality support for women and sperm support for men. Again, this is not something we often talk about. Male fertility impacts conception and a healthy pregnancy, and it is in decline due to stress, toxins, aging, and other lifestyle factors. Hormone and gut health of your partner directly influences sperm quantity and quality, and ultimately the DNA passed from sperm to baby. I love that Needed not only thinks about the female fertility, but also about the male fertility. Needed does an amazing job thinking about and supporting us women through the fertility journey. They offer prenatals, omega-3s, antioxidant, rich in egg quality support supplements, and it is formulated by prenatal health practitioners to help you and your eggs thrive. You are born with all of your egg cells, or oocytes. And the oocyte takes 3 to 4 months to mature before ovulation. Needed egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes, and it's never too early or too late to focus on egg quality. So we hope you can check out thisisneeded.com and enjoy 20% off with code VBAC20. Again, that is VBAC20 at thisisneeded.com. Back to today's show. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes, because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference. If you are someone who is experiencing domestic violence during pregnancy, postpartum, or just in general, there is help. You can reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233.
So that was my first birth experience. And fast forward to 4 years later, I've memorialized the day that I found out that I was pregnant with my first, because it was such a the lowest point of my life. And I think of it as like this time where I was ready for my life to end. I'm gonna cry. But instead my life doubled. And it led to this like beautiful little human who I get to be a mom to, and really change the trajectory of my entire life. So I call it my life day. And 4 years later, on my life day, I was in a loving relationship with the most gentle man. I still am in that relationship. And I felt like things were a little wonky with my body. And I woke up and took a home pregnancy test and saw on the exact same day that the hospital told me that I was pregnant, 4 years later, had a positive pregnancy test. And I was in a home that I owned, a home that was safe and filled with love, and a relationship that was safe and loving. And it was just so different. And I went and I laid in bed with my then 3-year-old and said, "We're going to be just fine." And I knew that we were going to be. And my second pregnancy was also different. It was very healing. I experienced a lot of sadness again, because I think I had space to like grieve the first time. It also happened because I got pregnant like right around the same time. It was like this weird redo of my first one, like now with a loving partner and safety and getting to be pregnant. And like, I think about what I wanted for my body and how to stay healthy. Like I didn't take a single vitamin during my first pregnancy. Like I was just focused on how do I stay safe today? And I was on, I can't even like count all the supplements I was on this time. And I knew pretty soon that I wanted a home birth. I feel like I was pretty educated on VBACs. I've been listening to the VBAC link since I was pregnant with my first. Just, I don't know why, because I hadn't had a C-section yet, but I had, okay. I loved the podcast. And I knew the rates of repeat cesareans. I also work in labor and delivery units, and I know that they're very risk averse. And I felt like it was the safest option to birth at home. I also felt the weight of how precious it was to have a safe home that I could birth in. And it was very meaningful for me to give birth in a space that was mine and was safe. My partner, who knew like nothing about home birth, I like broached the subject with him early in pregnancy. I was like, I want to let you know, I don't know what you think about this, but I want to have a home birth. And he was just like, great. I was pretty surprised that he was so on board, but he was like, he trusted me and he trusted me like the whole way through. I did not have hyperemesis the second time. I didn't have the rash problem. I didn't have the broken ribs. I did have a lot of pain from pubic symphysis. Yeah, the like second half of my pregnancy was like very difficult to even walk. And I also have I broke my pelvis in like my teenage years and was a little unsure of how that healed. And I broke in two places. So I have had this fear, like, what if there's a bunch of scar tissue around a bone and baby's head couldn't get through? So I had that fear as well going into my home birth. My midwife was very skilled and very kind. It was, you know, a different experience of prenatal care. And I really loved my hospital prenatal care. I think given that I was in a high-risk situation, I loved my hospital prenatal care. It was exactly what I needed. And in my second birth, my home birth midwife was exactly what I needed. In my second birth, I went over my due date by 11 days, which was such a mind game. And I was so over it. I was just like this crazy person who was like doing everything that I could to get this baby out of me, but also was like, no, I want to be holistic. I don't want to be induced. I'm not going to. So it was a very like two parts of myself that were battling each other. But I finally went into labor. And my mother was here as well. My family lives far away. So, but my mother came to support me this time. So it was just my mom and my partner and my 3-year-old. And I labored at home. I had my music. And it was just a lovely experience of laboring, of like joining in this experience that so many women have had of pain and beauty and endurance and strength. I felt so connected to the world and to women and to my mom. My midwife came around. So I started laboring 7 p.m. At 2 p.m. the next day, my midwife came. I labored in the tub that had like a blow-up birthing pool. And I felt like labor was pretty straightforward until like the last 5 hours. I was fully dilated, but he just wasn't descending. And the midwife checked me and said that his head was stuck on my pubic bone. And he was stuck there for like 5 hours. And it was a lot of like pushing, but I wasn't really pushing the right way. And I couldn't, it felt like contractions that just weren't producing anything. Like it wasn't opening anything. It wasn't moving him down. It was just nothing. And I started to get really discouraged. And we joke a lot about how kind of belligerent I was towards the end, like right before I gave birth. Like I got very bossy and I decided it wasn't going to happen. Like he's not going to descend. I'm over this. And I was like, call 911, tell them to bring drugs. I need them here now. And my midwife was like, that's not how it works. Like I was like, no, call the police, tell them to bring narcotics. I need to stop feeling this. And I was like, I was being ridiculous. And my midwife was encouraging me, saying like, he is coming down. I know you're not feeling it, but I feel his head and it's right there. And I think you're going to have a car baby if we get in the car. And I don't want that to happen. And I'm not a rude person, but I guess in labor I am. But I like stuck my finger in my vagina. And I was like, well, I don't feel them. And so they were like loading up to go to the hospital because I was so insistent that this was not happening. And then I was standing in the living room and I said, wait. And my partner was like, she said, wait. And I could feel him coming down. And it was the first time I really felt like his head coming through my birth canal. And it was such a different feeling. And like 30 minutes, I pushed him out standing in our living room. And it was just beautiful and lovely. And he was on my chest. My three-year-old was there. Baby was on my chest. I was laying on my partner's chest. And it's just like nothing else mattered in that moment. Yeah, it was a lovely, beautiful, healing experience to come full circle. I also gave birth on the 4-year anniversary of filing for divorce and getting a restraining order from my abuser. It's like all of these things lined up just to give me this healing experience of new life. So,
yeah, seriously, these milestones that you're able to overcome from past and replace with joy and beauty and excitement and healing. Oh, I have chills like the whole episode. How about you, Sarah?
Yeah. There's just so many parts of your story that are so unique and so just like fitting. And there's so much strength in it. And there's so much emotion that it's just like, you know, listening and feeling all of the things that, you know, obviously you were going through, and some were external, but a lot were very internal. And just, you know, thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, the ability to be able to share your story is so like takes so much strength in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we could see that, could see it in your eyes. You had my eyes welling up a few times. I was just feeling all the emotion as you were sharing and all the heartache in the beginning that you were sharing. And I love how you were like, I was going through this really terrible, scary experience, but you were able to stay in this haze of like bonding and you two together, you two thriving and surviving in this really unfortunate circumstance. But I am so glad that you were able to have that and grow and then now have this safe, loving home, you know, and two cute babes.
Yeah, they are cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And although like your story is so unique, it's also so, you know, in very many of our VBAC stories, we have that traumatic experience and then leads to that very healing experience. And so I think it's just, you know, one of those things like you had mentioned, having that like space to process and getting out of that survival mode too. And I think that's really amazing to honor that and mention that, because sometimes we are just in that survival mode and we don't allow ourselves, or we don't have the ability to give ourselves that time to really process what is occurring and what is happening. And a lot of the time we just need to do that. And we need to, you know, allow ourselves the time to do some fear clearing and, you know, release a lot of that anxiety and other fears that are happening and going on. So,
yes. Yeah. Also on the end of the story, when you were talking about 5 hours, babies just kind of hanging out there, stuck there, pushing, but not really pushing, but in this weird, funky spot in labor. We have seen this where people are pushing and they're like, your baby's not descending, right? And we are actually given a diagnosis of failure to descend for a reason, for cesarean, but then simply standing up and moving. And I'm sure you were moving and grooving along the way, but it just sometimes is one specific motion. And it might've been the like quickness of you standing up, like, okay, I'm going, I like, we're gonna do this, you know, that did it. We don't know, but I love just seeing that too, that, you know, you were saying I had a broken pelvis like in the past, like I don't really know how that healed. And in a lot of ways, a lot of providers would be like, you have a broken pelvis. You don't have a proven pelvis. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm comfortable with this. But then here you did it, right? But that like movement, and I don't know, I just feel like there's so much power within our bodies that it's just incredible. And I love seeing that. And then your partner's like, Wait, hold on. Don't go anywhere. I think we're staying. And I love that that is exactly how it unfolded and that your other baby was, able to be there with you. And just so many amazing things about your story. So thank you so much for being vulnerable and just being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.